most intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdowns straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and Emiliano, a.k.a. Jive Turkey Nano.
What is up, fight fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. I'm your host, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly. And with me, as always, is the co-host with the most, the Jive Turkey himself, Jive Turkey Nano. How we doing, brother?
Let's go. Good to see you, as always, brother. I'm just over here gobbling away, being a little Jive Turkey, taking pride in my violence nature here. And good to see you as well. See you repping Islam over there. Looking as always, y'all, we already got people flowing in. If you are here, let us know where you're at in the chat. Let us know how you're feeling about this weekend. No UFC, but we still got violence to talk about, baby. Let's go. I'm ready to dive on in. Trey Song style. Whoa-oh-oh.
Man, love that. Love that to start the show. And folks, we are here for a little bit of a different vibe, a little bit of a different pace. I shouldn't say the word pace, because I know pacing is something that everybody outside of the UFC suffers from, if we're being completely honest. But I digress. We are here to talk about Bellator. Just kidding. That one died. Fatality. We're here to talk about PFLator, folks. It is the road to Dubai Championship. And this is going to be one hell of a card. It is going to be a shakedown in Dubai, folks. Starting at the very, very bottom, I mean, we don't have to necessarily run through all these fights because let's face it, we're going to call a spade here. PFL and Bellator suffer from the same thing, and that is a severe lack of star power, folks. And you know that's true. You just know it to be true when the opening bout of the night is between a guy that's 0-1 and a guy that's 1-0. We're talking about two fighters that have two professional fights between the both of them. So it's tough. We're not going to talk about Saeed Al-Hassani and Talal Akhwalaf, which, fun names to say, probably a great fight to watch, but I just don't know enough data to talk about it. Fair?
Fair enough. You nailed the names, though. Do love to see that. And maybe before we dive in, you know, maybe a place for us to start here is for you, you know, ladies and gents and everything out there, if you are a fan of PFL and Bellator, or just violence like ourselves, maybe you already know this, but hey, maybe you're a UFC fan like some of our viewers and you want to know, what are we talking about here, huh? What is this piffle, this so-called PFL, this PF Bellator, so to speak? We are talking about two different leagues that did merge and get acquired back in 2023. Little fun fact here, so bear with me. But again, PFL, Professionals Fighter League, and Bellator MMA, two notable rivals, I guess, or you know, maybe more like the annoying little brothers to Dana White and the UFC in terms of competition, in terms of their brand recognition and trying to make a name for themselves. Prize money is big in PFL. They do get rewarded $1 million, $500,000. They have the big $1 million leagues or tournaments, which I didn't think is something interesting. I almost think the UFC can maybe benefit from doing something like that, having a season or a tournament style or a yearly end of the year type, you know, like a Super Bowl. A lot of other leagues have. That'd be a great way to maybe initiate something like that. Another fun fact with PFL is they do have the smart cage. I think that's something that, and frankly, maybe the only other thing outside of a few fighters that I would love the UFC to incorporate from PFL. And what that PFL smart cage is it's their proprietary smart cage technology using fight analytics, which a lot of us fans are always kind of wondering, how are they scoring it? Who's doing what? You get to see that in real time. Real-time betting for us, even larger degenerates out there. Always do it responsibly. And if you are going to gamble, do it on DraftKings or Underdog. Shout out if you're listening. Talk to us. We'll run some cool ads for you. And lastly here, AI scoring and viewing. We're living in an AI world. Why not get with the times and leverage those capabilities? You're starting to see it in a lot of other sports, NFL, for example, NBA as well. A lot of statistic-driven sports. Another way we can make the viewing ship a little bit more fun, I'd say, right? Curious to your thoughts, or if I missed anything, for those that might have just been curious to know what we're talking about and kind of getting the lay of the land here for PF Bellator, I guess we can categorize them as.
Shout out Dixon Cider in the chat, my friend. Asking us, they're not doing the, or saying rather, they're not doing the million anymore. They announced it. Yeah, they cut it down to 500K, which honestly, it's a good and bad thing. It's good for business because there's no way that they're sustainable and going to stay in business if they're doing that $1 million payout for every single champion. But it's tough to go from having that $1 million payout and then drop on into having a $500,000 payout. And also shout out to Leroy in the chat. Let's fucking go, you brother. If you want to hop on, you let us know.
Let's go.
Man, this is going to be just a hell of a fight card. Again, from top to bottom, there are a number of fights that I will be paying attention to. But I digress, folks. I think this is one of those where it makes more sense if we just start from the very top of the card. Actually, no, fuck that. We're going to start at about four down
there we
in
go.
the main card here. We're going to start with a man who, with all due respect, feel like maybe his parents got a little bit lazy when it came to the naming convention here. You know I'm talking about Ibrahimov. That's right. His first name is almost the same as his last name, but his last name has an OV. So look, Ibrahimov is going against a homie of... not mine necessarily, but the Fight Week show, right? We're talking about a Kenny Mokonoana, right? Black Diamond, as we like to say. And you know I'm a big fan of diamonds in general. Diamond Poirier speaking mainly here. So if we're talking about a Black Diamond, I can get behind that. I can get behind that. That might be the only OV last name I bet against on this entire card. And let me tell you why. His opponent is 8-0, and that's definitely a feat in itself. 3 wins by knockout / TKO, 3 wins by submission, and 2 wins by decision. The man is very, very well-rounded. And in his last 3 fights, he's coming off of literally the most well-rounded you can... I can't make this up, Nano. 3 fights ago, round 3 knockout, head kick followed by punches. Next one, round 1 arm triangle. Next one, unanimous decision. So his last 3 fights are one of each way you can get a fucking win. Come on. Like, that's very, very impressive. But you know me. I like to bet with my heart, Nano. You know this. You know this in your heart.
I know this, man.
And I got to chat with this guy. This guy, Kenny. And he's coming off a unanimous decision loss to Josh O'Connor, who's 5-0 himself. Or sorry, 9-0 himself. And this guy was 5-0 going into that fight. And it's his first loss. I gotta think that after that loss, he can't wait to bounce back into the win column. And again, like he's done more of his career than not in Bellator, right? And he also had a pretty extensive amateur career. He went and had just a number of bouts in amateur. And we know more than anything, when it comes to amateurs, a lot of these folks have like 2-3 fights in general. So I love this. I love this for him. And I think he could really go out here and get a submission over. I know it's crazy, but I think he could get a submission over Ibrahimov. And make no mistake, right? He was born in Dagestan, but he's fighting out of Manchester, England, right? So he's not getting the same, number of reps against these Dagestani guys. Let's go to the chat real quick. Let's go, Sav. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Hangry Dana. Kenny Mokawana gonna lose a decision? I learned an expensive lesson never to bet on a black Irishman. That's tough. That's tough. I actually am gonna bet on the black Irishman. And I think he's probably gonna be able to get it done here. I don't know why I think he gets it done inside the distance. Nano, what are you thinking?
I like where your head's at. I definitely like where your head's at here. This is my brother. I mean, he is an MMA anomaly, right? Kenny G is smooth, and Kenny M equally as smooth when it comes to his striking and his ability to swing and bang there on the feet. But he does have a problem in front of him here, right? We do got Ibrahimov, who, again, the name's so sweet, you had to say it twice there. 8-0. He has that Dagestani wrestling background, and that was one thing that stood out to me on the limited tape I could find on the YouTubes, because I did see somebody who is 5'8". He's 4 inches shorter than his opponent. He's going to have a 7-inch disadvantage. But what he does well is he knows how to get inside, drop angles, use his strike into his advantage to get in, grab a leg, or just simply get a grip there, clinch the hands together, bully his opponents up against the wall. And he's really savvy once he gets you there. If he could get his hands locked on you, he's savvy, like a lot of those Dagestani guys are. We saw a great display last week in the UFC. But more often than not, if you don't have that in the pedigree, you're just going to fall into a trap. Everything's a trap. You're going to fall into it at some point. It's inevitable. So for Kenny, Kenny M here, I think I'm going to be rooting for him. But I did see this to be a tough challenge, even though he is coming in as a 6-foot featherweight. He's going to be coming in with a 7-inch reach advantage. When he's able to keep his opponents at distance, certainly can show. I mean, like you said, he was checking off Leroy's bingo card with his finishes or his last three performances. Every single way he could get it done, he's doing it. Curious to see what Dixon Sider thinks on this, but I'm leaning Kenny M, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ibrahim just wrestle fucks him, and we'll probably be doing a shot next week talking about it. But you gotta go with the underdog. We like the underdogs back around here, and we like our MMA anomalies, so that's where I'm at. I'm right here with you, brother. Let's go.
I love it. That's gonna be probably one of two bets that I make on this entire PFL card. Obviously the other one being a little bit of a hedgeroni, right? Yeah. I'm just looking at the odds now. Yep. Yeah, I like this a lot. So, we're going to take that one. And, just to put into perspective what that looks like here, boom. So the two bets I'm going to put in on this card are as follows. It's going to be a bet on the ovs, right? We're going to call it the offside bet. Offsides. Anybody whose last name ends in OV, we're putting them on a parlay, and we're going to hammer that one home. I just think it's a fun one, right? So we got Miravzal Akhtamov, Ibrahim Ibragimov, Ahmed Magomedov, Vadim Nemkov, duh. Usman Nurmagomedov, duh. And Hinat Khavalov, who's like a minus 1800. So I feel like that's like the biggest duh possibly of the card. But then again, Vadim Nemkov is a minus 2400. Welcome to PFL Latour, folks. If you parlay all six of those together, you get plus 143 odds, which means if you put one unit on it, you get 2.43 back. As you well know, we are working to make back some units after last week at 311. Had a great time being there. Felt like Christmas came early again this year for me, but not when it comes to the bank. So we did not hit a number of our bets. And some of the ones that would have hit, we actually forgot to hit send on those. It's all good, though. We will make it back this week in spades. So again, plus 143 on the AV parlay. And if you want to go with our boy and hedge that a little bit, right? What you can do is you can take Kenny at plus 440. You put one unit on him and you get 5.4 back. So we're going to do that because, you know, I either hit a five or six leg parlay because those other guys are for sure going to cash, or I won't be heartbroken if I make more off of literally a one single bet hitting. You know what I mean? And my guy, Kenny, getting the win. So with that being said, I mean, Nano, are you telling me on this one, or am I batshit crazy here?
I like where your head's at. I always like an underdog. I'll take a little Kenny M, and I think the Av bet is definitely always a good one. Shout out Klaus here in the chat. Last week was brutal. I told everyone, you never bet on Kevin Holland. Yeah, man. You know, it's the heart always wants to put it on Big Mouth there, but the brain always has to tell you it's better you don't. Be responsible. Right there with you. Nicest teeth in MMA, YouTube. Well, thank you, my brother. You know, I appreciate you saying that nowadays. I'll let my parents you think so. A lot of work, a lot of effort into that. You would not be saying that if you met me in middle school or in grade school, essentially. But do appreciate you, Klaus the Baus. Let's go.
And Dixon Sider, my guy, Olin, word on the street is you have a personal barber that gives you a haircut before every live stream. Yeah, you can follow him on Instagram. It's at You Can't See Me. Fantastic guy over at Macho's Barbershop. Best in the biz.
Can't see him, but you could book him. So go ahead and get in his schedule there.
Just got to book in advance.
You see the fresh cut every day. I mean, bread's in the pudding. Look at this guy. Sharp as nails. Come on.
Let's go, baby. And yeah, man, another thing that they asked is, are y'all watching the GFL draft tomorrow? It's hosted by Bappa and Robin Black. Absolutely. If you don't think I'm going to watch The Big Banker, I mean, come on. I love Robin Black. He's very fun. Dixon Sider said, I'll watch to see Robin Black be a cornball. Same. I absolutely love it. I eat that shit up.
I don't think I'm familiar with this, but GFL.
Robin Black? Oh, GFL is the... Oh, dude, we got to get you caught up to speed on GFL. My guy's been out of the game.
Put me on, y'all. I didn't even know about this.
So GFL essentially has 480 fighters that they've now basically put on their roster, quote fingers. They have judges, or not judges, they have team leaders, team captains from each of their nations that are going to be represented. And then they're going to have a draft tomorrow, football draft style. And out of these 480 fighters that they have already like rostered up, 120 of them are going to be selected for the six teams. And then they're going to fight each other in a team format, kind of PFL style, and go from there. But I mean, there's some huge names like Cain Velasquez is running a team. Like it's going to be entertaining stuff.
I just found out who's on air. So the on air talent for this, the one, the only, Mike MF and Goldberg, fire.
Virtually identical.
And Brandon Schaub.
Well, you know, you got to have some good and bad.
Oh, well, come on. I thought I was expecting the cheers. No cheers? No? Okay. Tough crowd.
Got Nano looking for the cheers like, where are
you? There he is. Way to work it in, brother. Appreciate you as always. The producer with the most. Yeah, man, that's interesting stuff. I can't believe I was unaware of this. Dubai is managed by Cain Velasquez and coached by Javier Mendez. That's huge. Luke Barnott and Carl Prince. Los Angeles is Vanderlei Silva and Rafael Cordero. Miami is managed by Thiago Alves and Conan Silveira. New York, managed by Ray Longo. Fair, but no manager to be announced. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Leo Dumachida. Ooh, okay.
Obrigado. So
this is legit. This is legit. And thanks for putting me on, y'all. Let me know how y'all feel about it. Throw a number out there in the chat, 1 through 10, 1 through 1,000, whatever you want. An emoji. Let me know how you're feeling.
Klaus said, I could honestly watch Bappa make a fool of himself for hours. I doubt he pronounces a single fighter's name correctly. I would love to see him and Chael go back and forth trying to pronounce fighters' names.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yair Rodriguez.
We'll see a clip on YouTube or maybe TikTok in China. There we go. Oh man. And so it's going to be platformed everywhere. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Is it a pay-per-view tomorrow? Oh no, it's just a...
Had to hit Juice Man with the salute there. Man in the chat, we appreciate you, Juice Man. 562. And no, I believe it's on the YouTube, brother.
The YouTubes, hell yeah. Say less.
Just like Karate there. Combat.
Nice.
Sheesh. Karate Combat 52.
Big weekend, y'all.
It's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a good one. We might actually end up doing a live stream. Stay tuned tomorrow. I'll let you guys know if you follow me on Twitter. I'll probably post about it preemptively. Or if not, just make sure you hit that bell. Smash that bell for notifications, folks. Because we might actually be doing a live stream tomorrow for Karate Combat with Sav, who typically goes to these things live, and she's not going to be able to make it to Florida for this one. So might have to have the female co-host with the most tomorrow. We'll see.
Let's go. That'd be fire. Sad you can't go, Sav, but hey, on live, on stream, always a good time. If y'all don't know, now you know. Make sure you lock it in the calendar. Set the hit the smash button, the bell for notifications. Smash that for us, like we like to say around here. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go, mate. Let's fucking go. Arnar.
Arnar. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm sticking to it.
Hit the like, y'all. Love it. Love it. Dixon Siders and Geriatric Fight League. That's a great joke.
Wow.
That's a great joke. That's
cool. No filter, for sure.
Definitely no filter. Would you want to see Tony sign with GFL and fight Kevin Lee? Holy fuck.
Not necessarily, but I would watch it. I wouldn't want to, but I will. Yeah. Yeah. Like one eye closed. Like, oh no. Can't help but watch. Well,
whenever you're able to jump on here in about 30 minutes or so, Leroy, if we're still live, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Because I know you're the biggest Tony Ferguson fan that I think I've ever met.
El Cucuy.
We love El Cucuy around here. El Cucuy. I mean, we literally made like a shirt design with him, right? So you can pick that up on the MMA Anomalies store here, linked in the bio. But again, like, I don't know. Because Kevin Lee, he's a tough opponent for anybody. And Tony just has not looked super, super great to me in his recent bouts. But it would be a freak show, as you just said. They need to get people tuning in. I hate it for Tony, but I can see him doing it. Okay, cool. I didn't want to say that out loud because I know that's your guy. I'd feel about as good about that as I'd feel about a rematch with Dustin Poirier and Khabib. You know? And I say that as the biggest Dustin Poirier fan probably any of you people know. It'd be tough. It'd be tough for me to sign off on that as a Tony fan. But I digress. This PFL card. After that, we have a bout between Nathan Kelly at featherweight and Ahmed Magomedov. I mean, one man coming off of 5 straight wins. I mean, out of his last 5, the other man is 4-1 in his last 5. Talking about Ahmed Magomedov. I don't know why. I think this is going to be the parlay breaker for me of the OV parlay, right? I think Kelly has a lot of paths to victory here, and main path to victory for me being, honestly, and I know this is going to sound crazy, over a Dagestani guy, the decision. Man is a very well-rounded fighter, and I know that he has a higher percentage win ratio with KOs and submissions, right? 45% of his wins by way of submission, 36% of them by way of TKO or KO. Only 18% of his wins have come by way of decision. I mean, obviously, if you pay attention to Bellator, if you watched in June the, Bellator Champion Series event, he got that nice ninja choke while they were both still dry in the very first round with 3 minutes and 42 into it. I just don't know that he'll be quick enough or slick enough to get that kind of situation on his opponent, Ahmed Magomedov, in this one. But I do think that he can probably battle him to a decision win. It might be a split decision win with them being, you know, over there in Dubai, but we'll see. Either way, if you pick this guy right now, probably stand to make a little bit of money on him, right? Because he's plus 205. He's someone that I'm considering sprinkling like a fifth of a unit on just for funsies, but I haven't quite pulled the trigger on that one yet. Nathan Kelly is a fan of the show. Well, let's fucking go. Well,
let's go. He's a good bloke then. I like
it. Then I guess we might have to put a half unit on it. I was considering a fifth, but I mean, if he's a friend of the show.
Come on. Sign me up.
We're in.
Not I like sticking. It. Yeah, man. I mean, this is a fun fight. It is a clash of styles here. We do got Ahmed Magomedov. The name really indicates it there. Fighting out of Russia. Before I begin here, Tico Tech. Speaking of pull the trigger, I bet neither of you know what a 4570 is.
You probably, of course, right, referencing the Kevin Holland being a shit show on the Jackson podcast. You just love to see it. You just love to see it.
I understand.
There you go. There you go. Only gets
I got
it.
That joke.
I'm just a drive turkey over here in my little la la land, but man, this is gonna be a fun one. Clash of Styles, Nathan Kelly, fan of the show. It sounds like in the YouTube world, love to see it. Maybe we get him on sometime. But what I do appreciate in his game is his ability to counter strike with his opponents. I do think as Ahmed tries to establish his wrestling game, he can definitely get caught. Whether it's a knee, whether it's one of those kind of looping under. I would say undercut, but I guess hook or uppercut. There's the word. I'm excited for this fight stylistically. I think Nathan Kelly can definitely find a way to get it done. Both these guys virtually identical when it comes to their height and weight. And apparently I have leg reach I'm looking at here for Nathan Kelly. It's 39 inches. Don't know what Ahmed's is. Doesn't matter. I do think that Nathan Kelly, if he is an underdog, We'll take that. We like our underdogs around here because we know they bark in the backyard, baby. So definitely taking that. Dixon Sider asking if Nate Kelly or Nathan Kelly, not the same dude. Probably not. If I said Nate Kelly, I might have just put that nickname on Sir Nathan. But it is Nathan Kelly. I love it. Shout out, Klaus. Appreciate you hopping on here. Hopping off soon, it sounds like, but always great to have you around. And he asked how much
Klaus,
the tickets
before
are.
Before you go, you just asked how much the tickets are. I was looking that up. They're between $50 and $2,000, depending on where you're sitting in the pit or pit side.
They're in Miami, which is pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
Or wait.
And there's not a bad seat in the house either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks sick. I can't wait to talk about Karate Combat because there were some things that stood out, but that's definitely one of them. But yeah, I do think Nathan Kelly has a way to get this one done, but Ahmed Magomed certainly has the ground and wrestling advantage, so that's always a live bet. Give me Thunder Dot, though. Let's go. Nathan Kelly, get it done, baby.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, I'm going with Nathan Kelly as well. Definitely think he's a live dog to win this fight. And I mean, at plus over 200 odds, it's hard not to go with him here, man. You know we love a good dog here on the show. So moving forward, we have a co-main event in the heavyweight division between Tim Johnson and Vadim Nemkov. I feel like I've taken the lead on the last couple. Nano, what are you thinking on this one, brother?
Appreciate you dishing it this way, brother. This is a fun one. A little bit of a unique matchup. When you look at it on paper, you see a big, bruising, tumbling, stumbling heavyweight here in Tim Johnson, 6'3", 266 pounds. That is maxed out, ladies and gents. 78-inch reach. He's going to have 2 inches over his opponent, Vadim Nemkov, who may sound like a familiar name, but new to the heavyweight division. He was the light heavyweight champion here for PFL. So he is decorated. He is a savvy, gritty, grizzled vet here in their arena. 6 foot, 205 pounds. I'm sure he's bulking up a little bit. Maybe we'll float around maybe 220, 230 if I had to guesstimate. It is a complete guesstimation, don't quote me on it. But he's going to be the leaner, meaner, and I think faster fighter in this matchup with that wrestling pedigree as well and the ability to fight at the highest level at light heavyweight. I think he'll be able to make this transition to the heavyweight division just fine. I'm looking at a Tim Johnson as well, 18-10 record. Not the most, doesn't give me the most confidence if I were to try to take him. I don't even care what the odds are. Even if Tim were a favorite, I think they'd be sleeping on the fact that a light heavyweight can go up and look good in a heavyweight division. No weight cut, nothing to worry about there. And again, you're going to have a speed advantage. Both these guys are big and strong. So regardless of who gets who first, more than likely the guy that's more accurate and lighter on his feet is probably going to find a way to get it done. So give me Vadim Nemkov, a savvy, light heavyweight guy that's moving up here, but he's going to find a way to make his name for himself and potentially go on to two-time status and then maybe make his way up to the big boys in the big show with the big dogs in the UFC. Kind of a subtle challenge there. Maybe he'll clip it and use it as motivation. And if he does, you're welcome. Let's go.
Absolutely love that breakdown, Nano. And I mean, look, you left a little bit of meat on the bone for me, but not too much. You did a great job breaking that down. I will say this about Vadim Nemkov's opponent, Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson has UFC credentials, right? He was a UFC fighter from 2015 all the way into 2018. So he lasted for about 3 years in the UFC with losses to Gerard Rocholt, Alexander Volkov, which, I mean, is still a freaking name, Junior Albini, and Czech Congo, which if you haven't seen a Czech Congo fight, do yourself a favor. Oh, I'm sorry. The Czech Congo fight was in Bellator, but I digress. Either way, also a UFC fighter. Go watch that, man. But he did rack up a handful of wins as well, right? Over Shamil Abdurakhmanov, Marcin Tybura, who is a top 10 ranked heavyweight currently, Daniel Omielanskuk, and Marcelo Gom. So again, out of his four wins in the UFC, one of them is actually over a current ranked UFC caliber opponent, right? And he also has wins. He got that one back, folks, over Czech Congo years later in 2020. Got a split decision win over him. He also got a win over Meathead, as you might remember him from the season of Tough with Rampage Jackson and Rashad Evans. That's right. I am talking about Matt Meathead Mitrione, folks. Got a round one knockout over him. So Tim Johnson always has the nuclear option, right? But Vadim Nemkov is a real son of a gun when it comes to heavyweight. You're talking about a guy who has equally as many wins as the man standing across from him on the night of the fight. And yet he has a fifth of the number of losses. So, I mean, come on. It's tough, man. It is tough. Osterberry said, shout out to Olin and Jive. Dude, shout out to you, my friend.
Let's go.
Freaking love seeing Osterberry's in here. Juice man, Osterberry is still shredding. Not lately. The weather here in the UK is ass. Damn, that sucks. When is Shazib Rind fight? I'll have to look that up.
I think that's Karate Combat, if I'm not mistaken.
I was going to say, I think that's a Karate Combat fight. But yeah, we're about to be getting into Karate Combat right after this. We have one more fight in the PFL event, and then we'll be jumping right on into Karate Combat, my friend. So yeah, very, very soon. And with that being said, my bet for this one is on Vadim Nemkov. I simply think that he is the stronger guy and the better man here. So with that being said, I'm calling a Vadim Nemkov under 1.5 round knockout in this one. Do you think it goes the distance at all, Nano?
No, I feel like I don't have the statistics here for PFL, but I'm sure if you looked at these heavyweights, more often than not, the higher level it gets, the more often there's going to be a finish. So I think Vadim will find a way to get it done. He has that submission capability as well, and he could knock him out probably in that first round, more likely than not. So I'm taking the under 2.5 or maybe even a first round finish, like you mentioned. I don't think the judges will be needed for this one.
Yeah, completely agree, man. Definitely don't think the judges are going to be needed. They can take a 10 to 12 minute break for this one at most. And with that being said, folks, we will go ahead and move on into the main event of the evening. It is Usman Nurmagomedov coming in against Paul Hughes. This is going to be a fight for the ages, potentially. We're talking about Dagestan versus Ireland part two here, folks. This is the second coming of Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor, potentially. The only thing is, I mean, I just don't know if Paul Hughes brings enough to the table to make this as crazy of a bout as that Nurmagomedov versus McGregor one was. With that being said, folks, we have like almost 20 of you in the chat right now. I'm going to pour a shot up for you guys, for us guys.
Let's go.
For all of us fight fans. We are getting to the end of the PFL card and getting to the beginning of this Karate Combat main card, which again, me and Sav will probably be doing a watch along for tomorrow. Folks, I cannot wait for this Karate Combat card. It actually might be more exciting than the PFL card, in my humble opinion, folks. But correct me if I'm wrong here. Let me know if I'm crazy, Coco Cuckoo Bananas, and walk me off this ledge. But either way, if you're here, if you're tuned in, do me a huge favor. Like, comment, subscribe, smash that bell for notifications. And if you drink, raise up a glass with us. and toast. To those of you that enjoy fights, to those of you that enjoy skilled martial arts and violence, we enjoy you. And we appreciate you being here with us. You could be anywhere in the world on this Thursday evening, and you chose to be right here at the MMA Anomaly Show. So cheers to us, cheers to you, and cheers to everyone coming through.
Salute. Good times.
Good times. We are for good times.
Got funky on us. Let's go, baby.
Love it. Love it.
It's a banger, man.
What are your
man.
Thoughts on this fight, man?
Dude, well, he definitely led into it really well. And that's kind of the, I think, the narrative everyone's going into it with. It's the idea that we're getting a mini version of that Khabib versus Conor, right? We got the solidified Dagestani gangster. We have the man of the time, the young up-and-comer. I say young with a bold and an exclamation mark and everything, because Usman seems to be the real deal. And he's 26 years old, still a young guy, has been some guys. His record obviously indicates that he's doing all the right things here. He's 18-0 on path. Nothing's guaranteed, but he is on path to being one of those guys. Obviously, in Bellator PFL, he's their golden child. He is the cash cow. He is who has been filling up these pay-per-views and building his name in this division, while his counterpart, Islam Makhachev, in the same camp, is going out and obtaining the lightweight title. He's over here in Bellator, you know, taking care of business and being the champion at 155 there. So I think that's partially why we haven't seen him yet, why he's not a household name globally or in the UFC. Also, his younger brother, Umar Nurmagomedov, who we just saw fight last weekend, on path to do a lot of great things as well. Had a short, I guess fell a little short this past outing, but still somebody that can be a future champion. So the pedigree is there. The tail is there. And now you have this wild card in a Paul Hughes. As I transition away from Usman, who, again, has all the capabilities. And I will say, out of all the everyone in that Dagestani camp, everyone talks about this guy being potentially the most skilled when it comes to his kicks, his strikes, and his wrestling, his ability to put it all together. He may actually be the best one out of all of them. So that is something to be said. I'm curious if you think a name like Benson Henderson at 39 years old is enough to prove that he's a solidified guy, or if this Paul Hughes is going to be the name and maybe the challenge that I don't think Usman's expecting. I think there is a little bit of arrogance, which I think will make for a better fight, more competitive. I do think Usman will probably still find a way to get it done, but let's not just rule out this guy, Paul motherfucking Hughes, repping Ireland, Ireland's pride and joy. I will say a couple things that stand out, you know, good looking, clean cut, young cat. Who's knocking dudes out, who has the pedigree, and he talks really well also. Like, he talks the talk, he walks the walk. And, I mean, Big News is his nickname, and that's what he goes out there and tries to do at 27 years old, equally young, and I want to say dumb and naive. I say that with all due respect. I mean that in the fullest, because just like a Jaden Daniels rookie in the NFL, hey, you don't know what you don't know. He doesn't know he's not supposed to be here fighting for a title. But yet here he is. He's been preparing his whole life. And he knows that Usman's overlooking him. He mentioned that in one of their road to PFL champion, or road to Dubai, road leading up to this fight. I'm going to leave a little meat on the bone here to have you break it down more from like X's and O's, because you do that better than anybody in the industry. But man, this guy, Paul Hughes, I mean, he has some big wins. One of them over a Morgan Charrier, who is in the UFC, that is notable. But other than that, he's a strong puncher. He has a good ground game. I think he can make for some troubles here for Usman. I think it'll be a really, really challenging fight. It'll be one that will really prove and be that kind of a measuring stick for where they're at, where this next generation is, where they're going to be going. I feel like Usman's going to find a way to get it done, but I'd love nothing more than to see Paul Hughes go out, defeat Usman. Now, I mean, that, I think Bellator may want that, because now you can run that back. That's a lot can go into this here. Two stars colliding, nothing but fireworks is going to happen. But let me dish it back to you, brother. What are your thoughts here? How do you see it playing out this weekend here in Dubai?
Well, I'll tell you this, man. First and foremost, as always, great fucking breakdown, my friend. He does have a win over Morgan Charrier, does Paul Hughes, big news himself. But, I mean, that's probably his second biggest win. The other big win that he had was over AJ McKee Jr., who, I mean, is a stud in his own right, right? 22-2 himself. But the fact of the matter is this. The caliber of people that he's fought, as well as the caliber of people that Usman Nurmagomedov has fought, it's just tough to get a real true baseline on who they are and what the actual skill level they possess is based on who they've beaten and how they've beaten them, right? Paul Hughes, 90% of his finish wins have come in the first round or early in the second round. So what happens when he gets dragged into the third, fourth, or fifth round? And Usman, I mean, he's 18-0, and I mean, he's pretty well-rounded, right? Like, 8 wins by knockout, 6 wins by submission, 4 wins by decision. My thing is this. What happens for both of these guys when you have someone that's coming forward relentlessly and they're not moving back when they're eating your biggest shots? I don't really know what happens for either of these guys, right? Because we haven't seen it. Benson Henderson looked like he may have landed a good shot on Usman in the very, very opening seconds of that round, and then Usman shut that shit down. I think this simply might be another case of that, where Paul Hughes comes out, lands a big shot early on, and then Usman's like, all right, now we wrestle, brother. And then he just gets on top of him, and then it's you know, a bit of a snooze fest to an extent, but he'll probably go out there, grind him out with the grappling, and I could see him honestly getting a submission win or even a ground and pound winish over winish. A winish. It's a finish plus a win. It's a winish. Over Paul Big News Hughes. So yeah, my bet is on Usman. Look, the Nurmagomedov brothers cannot have this bad of a 2-week time span. All right. I just don't see it happening. And with that being said, folks, we are going to jump right on into Karate Combat 52. I'm excited about this one. I think it's going to be a very fun event. We won't break down the card in its entirety, but we will go over at least the main card here. Let's see here. What was the fight that someone was asking about earlier in the chat? Let's find that one. Hamza. When is Shazaib? Shazaib Rind. Let's find him.
That is the main event of the evening. Oh.
Yeah, we're going to go over the main event for sure, but we're going to get to that last. Let's go ahead and start with Brandon Jenkins coming in against Elad Suman. We got a man fighting out of Las Vegas, Nevada, and a man fighting out of Pattaya, Thailand in this one, folks. This is going to be a really, really fun bout. Brandon Jenkins, obviously the human highlight reel, as his nickname suggests, coming off of 2 back-to-back losses in Karate Combat. After having his first Karate Combat fight over Charlie Antiveros, former UFC fighter himself, it'd be a great success with a round 2 knockout with punches. And then after that, of course, he lost that unanimous decision to Efrain Escudero, and then unfortunately got put against my boy, Joe Skeletor Giannetti, who had his number. This is going to be a tough one for him. Elad Suman is definitely a man who can come out here and get a knockout of his own. And I mean, if you look at the reach here and the weight, I mean, it's tough, right? But for my money, I'm going to go with Brandon Jenkins. I just don't think that Elad Suman has enough of a pedigree as far as who he's fought and what he's done. Yes, he's coming off 2 back-to-back wins over Vladimir Gabov in Muay Thai and Joe Miyahara in Karate Combat. I think Brendan Jenkins is going to have something for him. I think Brendan Jenkins probably wins this by quick, vicious 1-2 to the dome. What are you thinking here, Nano?
Ooh, I like it. Putting on your mystic MMA anomaly over here. And shout out Sav. Moly gang, absolutely right. That's what I was going to lead with as well. Brandon Jenkins definitely winning the best hair award, if there's any consolation for that. She also mentioned here BJ's 2 appearances so far. First loss might have been a robbery, so not too definitive. And Sav's book, which I would take as Bible. Second loss was an unlucky kick, sad face. I'm right there with you. You know, these things happen in this violent game. And something about this karate combat that I do want to acknowledge. I mean, the arena itself, again, I'm going to go into some fun facts, so bear with me here. But we got full contact karate, talking about karate combat, right? Full striking league. And the big thing that they lead with is their CGI environment, which I did notice was kind of had me in awe in some of the previous highlights I was watching of these fighters. Really cool events. I think you mentioned it at the top of the show, but for those that are new here, no bad seat in the house. We think we mentioned anywhere from $50. Maybe if you want to be Prime, you can obviously, or if you want to be VIP, you can have that experience. But you're getting some elite competitors. You're getting different weight divisions. They're having the 10-point scoring system, similar to karate, which I think would be nice and could potentially be used in the UFC. I also like the pit as well, what they call it, the kind of sloped angle as opposed to like a true octagon. It feels like a little bit more of a real world scenario, right? Maybe you're in like a field or it's like a driveway or something. You're kind of in some sort of surrounding where there's just like that pit style. I love everything about it. No wrestling or submissions, so we won't be seeing any of that or explaining any of that. And I think I saw no elbows as well. Yeah, no elbows, and they're using firearms gloves. So we're going to see some violence here, y'all. And with Brandon Jenkins, that's exactly what he does. He looks like he's built for violence. And one thing you mentioned with that 1-2, I did notice a lot of that in his game, whether it's 1-2 upstairs or even going downstairs as well, ripping the body. That's a quick way to neutralize your opponent and find a path to victory. So I do think that that Brandon Jenkins will find a way to get it done. And I'm standing here corrected already. Shout out Sav and all you fine people in the chat there for keeping us honest. Elbows are allowed now. That is a new rule. I'm going to have to yell at Google ChatGPT here because they lied to me. So that's on me. Didn't do my due diligence. But I'm looking at the chats here. Leroy's ready to get put in. MMA is sending the location. What a time to be alive, baby. Let's go. Oh, hopefully you can still hear me.
I'm not sure what's happened. I think I just came back here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I get it, your brother. Can you hear me?
Perfect. Perfect. We are back. Not sure what was happened there, but we are back now.
We are back. Well, yeah, I'm not sure. Sav, let us know. I mean, I was over here rambling and scrambling. No, I was just explaining some of the rules and everything. Hopefully, I was coming through clear. You sound great, though, brother, as always. Looks like we might have a fellow brethren here getting loaded up. He's ready to hop on in to the pit here in Karate Combat. Curious here, his thoughts, just all things violence. Y'all know him in the chat, and if he's in your personal DMs, I apologize. Yeah, maybe sign a waiver or have him sign some sort of waiver to let him know that you agree to communicate with this guy. But one of one, the one that
definitely only. Definitely a one of one. We're going to bring him on in just a second here. And I mean, first things first, before we bring this man on, Nano, you had a great breakdown of that fight. Of just karate combat in general. The rule set is definitely very unique in karate combat, and I feel like it's something that more people should be watching. It's something I thought would actually take off a lot more than it has. They used to do a lot of really goofy things, right? Where they would have like a health bar at the top of the screen and things like that, and make it look like a video game, and health would deplete as these fighters were fighting in the middle of an actual fight. And it was kind of a bit goofy, but at the same time,
like some misses. I respect it. I respect it though.
Bit of a fun time to watch for sure. But either way, I am very happy that it is actually starting to take wind and starting to catch wind to an extent. With that being said, folks, we have the one, the only. Oh. There he is.
Tim, what's going on?
Let's go.
Hey, what's going on? How are you
doing? Hey.
Doing good, man. Doing good.
How it goes? How goes it? It's good, brother. How are you?
I actually just want to jump straight on the back of what you guys were saying about karate combat. I think one of the things that made it so successful, or that's really push it past that that sketchy period, if you'd call it that, is the all that gimmicky stuff that they were doing with the health bars and all that jazz. Those are really low cost, high reward things. Like, they're never going to stick around forever, but it's something to talk about, and it's relatively cheap to implement. So instead of putting up $1 million prize money to get people talking, because that costs you $1 million, you know, you just pay some bloke to put in some health bars and, you know, just swing some shit for a couple weeks, you know? I figured, like, it's great. And I think they've pushed through that glass ceiling, that they're kind of a staple now, right? Especially as they iron out their processes.
Well said. Well said. I agree. What do you think, MMA Anomaly?
I mean, I couldn't agree more.
I thought it was cool. I mean, seeing the last few events, I mean, specifically with Aileen Pereira's last showcasing, I forget how long ago that was, but I like some of the digital CGI environment or whatever they're doing. I mean, it's a little shtick. Like you said, low cost. They kind of have it down, not too hard to blow up some sort of visuals. And then as you grow, just like any other company, I mean, maybe you get those kind of ads or sponsorships or those people that are willing to just get their name out there. And now all of a sudden, here we are talking about them, and they have some big names now too. So
yeah, and like, I don't know, that Rebellus Despeña, like, yeah, he didn't cut it in the UFC, but he's a great signing for Karate Combat, especially like with how well he performed for them already. But like, that just shows you that they're going in the right direction.
Absolutely.
1,000%. They're acquiring talent. They're doing the right things. And honestly, the events they're putting on are super entertaining.
They look and fun. I want to go to one.
I want to go to a Karate Combat event.
Dude, 50 bucks in Miami, $50 to go see a show like that. Sign me up. I would do that all day.
Sign me up.
I mean, that's way more affordable for the MMA fans.
Yeah, than UFC.
Yeah, it's insane.
Same with their charging
the
nowadays.
For the nosebleeds was more than what it would cost me to fly from fucking Canada and back. Like,
yeah, honestly, I will say though, in that arena, the nosebleeds are better seats than most arenas. The arena was nasty good, bro. It was so awesome.
Like, I just kept getting. I was like, oh man, they must be having the time of their life sitting up there. Like, you had that big screen right in front of you as well. Like, you missed nothing.
Nothing. Literally nothing. And shout out Sav with the insider info here. February 28th in Denver next for Karate Combat.
Nice.
Down for that. And speaking of UFC, we got another UFC alum coming into Karate Combat here. We got Tyson Nam coming in against Loxby Montalvin, which is just a very fun last name. Both men standing at 5'7" tall. The man on the left and Loxby Montalvin having a 1.5-inch reach advantage. And Tyson Nam getting up there in age. Man is 41 years old coming into Karate Combat to get it done.
He is from the mean streets of Portland, though.
He is from the mean streets of Portland. He's looking to go out there and get it done. He's not from. He stays in. He's from the mean island of Honolulu, motherfucker. he's one of them flying Hawaiians, baby. So you know he's coming out there to throw hands. And I like this dude's fight style. I truly do. He is just a lot of fun. You know he's either going to win or he's going to lose. And either way, there's going to be a knockout in the fight. Because he doesn't do a whole lot to not get knocked out or not knock out his opponent. Sav out here saying Loxby by KO, which I'm not mad at. He's definitely the younger kid. He's about half his opponent's age. He has father time on his side, and he is the more winninger fighter as of recently, right?
Loxby's got all the Karate Combat experience though.
Yeah, he's fighting at home essentially because he's been to the pit. That was literally gonna be my next point. It's like, not only is he the winninger fighter, but he's been here, done that, so to speak. And Tyson Nam is coming from an octagon to a pit. It's a bit of a difference.
And is he making his debut, Tyson? So Nam?
For Karate Combat, I believe so.
Yeah, so a little bit of an adjustment for sure. Not that he was a submission or grappling guru in the UFC. This guy came in and really relied on that kind of one punch power, or at least counter one punch capability. I'm sure he'll look for that same thing here. But yeah, when you're fighting someone 14 years younger than you, you're the elder, the junior, you're the elder. I mean, that's going to be tough to combat. It's pun intended here in Karate Combat.
I'm just looking at his career here on Tapology. Like, so these aren't wins. These are just who he's fought. Sergio Pettis, Kai Kara France, Dre Riviera, Matt Schnell, Bruno Silva, Odo Bond. Like, he's had quite a... He's got a hell of a lot of experience in mixed martial arts.
Asterisk didn't win them all. You're out, didn't win them all, but, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. He's in there.
He's fought a who's who.
But yeah,
I don't know if you went back far enough, to be honest with you, Leroy. Like, before he even made it to the UFC, he was fighting like Rivzan Abuev and Zaga Zumagulov. Like, both of those guys have made it to the big leagues. So, like, even before he made it to the big leagues, he was kind of a feeler for people to get through.
Yeah, he was the gauge. Yeah. Marias is on there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's fought a handful of people that it's like, oh, I know that name. Oh, I know that name too. Oh, there's another one. Like, he's one of those guys that's been around, and he's 41 years of age, so it makes sense, right? I mean, it's insane, truly.
Screw it, I'm going with Tyson.
I like him in this one. Like,
I like it.
I know Loxby has the experience, but from a guy who likes to bet with his heart and lose a little bit of money from time to time, if I saw DraftKings odds for this, they'd probably make a little wager from me.
Well, and they have the odds on their website, but I don't know if that's the betting odds or how they have that, but it's 60% Tyson Nam on their site. That's so I assume that means 60% favor, right?
Oh, there
we go. There you have it.
Well, that means, I got to pull up the odds now. You've got me intrigued.
I mean, that is intriguing in itself. This next fight, I'm going to let Nano take the lead on. Oh, is that what it is? That makes more sense. So this next one, I'm going to let Nano take the lead on. We have a belt between Efrain Escudero and Luan Santiago in Karate Combat here.
On that pronunciation.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was fire. That was fire. Right.
And this is in the 170-pound division. Nano, who do you have winning this one and why?
I'll keep it short and sweet. As much as I do like the name here of Efrain Escudero, someone that does have fighting experience here. He is hecho en Mexico, so he's made in Mexico. Dude's grizzled. He's going to come in with that boxing pedigree. 39 years old, unfortunately. 1-1 record. He did lose to our boy Brandon Jenkins. Or no, did he beat him? I digress. He's 1-1, but I like the guy, Luan Santiago. Why, you ask? He looks scarier, let's be honest. Half of it is maybe just the pure appearance of this guy. But when it comes down to it, he did get his win in his debut, and he's someone that has all the looks to be a problem here in Karate Combat. He looks the part. I mean, I think I'm going to leave it at that at a minimum. He's 72% votes here on the website. Saw that as well. I'm like, all right, he's getting the more popular vote, and he just looks like a scary son of a gun. So give me Luan Santiago. What do you think? I think... How do you say it? You're real? What do you think, you're real?
You're real, that's good.
How do you feel?
I mean, I'm not overly familiar with either of them. And when in doubt, pick the Brazilian.
Well said.
That's pretty much how it goes.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, when in doubt, pick the Brazilian, and they'll probably help you out. Yeah, he's look, I mean...
Mexican, and Mexicans have got quite the lineage themselves.
They really do. They really do. This is actually a tough one for me to pick on because I feel like Efrain he's good. Like, he has losses in Karate Combat, or rather a loss in Karate Combat to Rafael Alves, but, I mean, Rafael Alves is a son of a bitch for anybody. Like, can we just call a spade here? But again, like, Luan Santiago looks the part. He looks scary as fuck. He looks like a Tekken character. In every facet of the word. And you could probably go out here and get the knockout because that's typically what he does. If you look at his record, 68% of his wins in combat sports, well, we have knockout. Yeah, look, as much as I... 68%, yeah.
Decent.
Yeah. 15 knockouts, zero submissions, seven decisions. 68% wins by knockout. And I mean, if that tells me anything about the guy, it's that he's going to do everything he can to get a finish in there. And again, if you look at his most recent fight over Corey Cup, it was a 2-minute knockout in Karate Combat. That's all he needed. Not very long at all. We've seen Efrain get finished before, not necessarily in Karate Combat, but we've seen him get finished via punches in MMA. So I don't think this should be any different. It's 4-ounce gloves, mainly striking, and you're giving Luan a little bit of a stand-up advantage in this by making it an only stand-up fight. So, yeah, give me Luan Santiago. I think he gets it done probably in the second round by finish. And then in the next one, we have a fight that's probably going to last about an 18th as long as the breakdown we're about to provide for it, folks. We have a heavyweight bout between Robles de Spain and Marcos Brigaggio. Leroy, tell us how you have this fight going for all 6 seconds it's probably last.
So Marcos is making his Karate Combat debut, correct? And he also,
Marcos.
He also was doing bare knuckle boxing or bare knuckle MMA. Because I actually know
over with Jorge's promotion.
I know of this bloke. He's legit. He's a bad dude. Like it's actually a good matchup. And I don't know who's gonna win, but I do believe that I have spoken longer than the fight will take place.
I like it. So you're cut off there. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Robles de Spain. I mean, he proven to be an absolute problem in the UFC. I think my one question to you blokes is, what the hell happened? Like, why did the UFC let him go? Was it because he has absolutely zero wrestling or ground game? Did he piss someone off?
He got out-grappled by a 500 fighter.
There we go.
Because no one wants to stand with him. Why would you if you could take him down?
So easily. Yeah.
He so gave Austin Lane his can't. First win in the UFC.
And that's who should have been cut.
Yeah. So that he took the contract, unfortunately. But he does have a tough dude, Marcos Brigaggio. Bare knuckle, willing. I mean, that says enough in and of itself. Like, he's a savage. He's got a puncher's chance. But in this kind of scenario, in this kind of format, I mean, Robles, man, if he can land those fucking mittens on you, those bear claws, you're going down. So give me Robles within a minute. What do you think, brother? MMA now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you on that, man. I think Robles within a minute, because if you look at his last two fights, and I'm talking about Marcos Brigaggio, more so his bare knuckle fight that you're talking about here, Leroy, like against Guto Inocente, he lost in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. 420 players out there. he lost in 4 minutes and 20 seconds in round number one. and I mean, again, it was via punches. So like, this is going to be no different. Except there's going to be 4 ounces of padding, which, from what I've seen, gives me more opportunity to punch harder, right? Because now I'm not worried about injuring my knuckles. So I just think he gets knocked out pretty brutally. That's right. That's me. I'm under Nurmagomedov. Halal Nurmagomedov, or what was it?
Haram
Nurmagomedov. That's me. Yeah, I think to Spain by however he wants it, to be completely real with you, my friend. And with that being said, we move into the people's main event of the evening.
Are we going to put money on that one?
Yeah, let's put money on that one.
I'll put a tenner on it. That I reckon, yeah,
I'm with it.
I reckon I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with the Brazilian.
We'll go $10 and a shot.
Done.
Let's go.
$10 and a shot. You heard it here first, folks. I got Robles de Spain, the big boy. Which, I mean, has there ever been a more appropriate nickname in the sport of combat? The big boy. Yes, you are. You're the biggest boy I've seen. Going in there against Ironside, which Ironside sounds like a Transformer. That would be an Autobot, in my opinion.
Ironside, sure. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Ironside, roll out! So, I mean, definitely the battle of the beasts in this one. We got S-Dogs MMA in the chat. Hey. Just got back from training, and what do I see here? The boys. And we got shout out to Crossover MMA. What up, boys? Get the likes up, people. Get the likes up for those two as well. If you're not already locked into S-Dogs MMA Talk on YouTube as well as Crossover MMA, make sure you drop a like, comment, and subscribe on those channels as well. And with that being said,
son's in the chat.
That's right. That's right.
They grow up so fast.
Gotta support their dad. And with that being said, folks, we're moving into the people's main event, right? Aileen Pereira coming in against Gisela Luna in a co-main event bout for Karate Combat. Of course, if you recognize that, sister.
Uh-oh.
Right? What just happened?
You know, Jive Turkey looks a hell of a lot like Olin right now. That's better.
There we go.
Hello.
We're back.
Hello.
We're back. So yeah, if you recognize Aileen Pereira, it's because she is the sister of Alex Pereira, who you might know as one of the most promising stars of MMA currently, right?
Also has a stone for a left hand.
Absolutely, my friend. That hand is disgusting from Pereira. Both of them, right? And they throw it exactly the same. No telegraphing, no setup. Ironically, because most people will tell you, you got to set it up.
Yeah.
Just step in with it. And it's like, it's all hip. It's disgustingly good. It's disgustingly fun to watch.
Sean Strickland can tell you that you don't need to set it up.
Sean Strickland can tell you that you don't need to do anything differently than what you're already doing. But he can't tell you that until he finally wakes up. Still waiting for that to happen.
Still waiting for that.
Gosh. I think because of that reason, I'm on the hype train, bro. I'm bought the heck in. Gisela Luna has everything to prove, and it doesn't help that she's 3-6. Right? Like,
Whoa, that's a can getting
it is in boxing. It is in boxing.
Or that's her box, yeah, that's her boxing record. But either way, still like 3-6-1 in boxing is not a fantastic record here. It's just not.
So I'll be honest,
you are.
I'll jump in here, and I have no idea who she is. I only know Aileen, obviously, for obvious reasons. I could only imagine that they just want to build her up still, because she's going to be a star in her own right. Like, that name value alone is going to draw eyes. So give her a can, give her a big win, go from there.
I like it. Yeah, and what's interesting, when I looked on the website, they don't even have Gisela Luna as the opponent. They still have Amanda Torres, so I don't know if that's maybe a last-minute type thing here, or I'm just maybe looking at the wrong thing. But either way, Aileen Pereira is obviously the favorite and the person I would never bet against there. She has that genetical stone hand that was passed down through her brother, through that lineage. Don't want to be in front of a punch from her. So I think this is another way for her to build her name. And in Miami, home crowd, last minute replacement. Yeah, so unsure how last minute it is, but a boxer's coming in with a puncher's chance, literally. I guess that's maybe the one takeaway or the one silver lining here for Gisela. And it's a big name to go in there against. If you can obviously go in there and shock the world or upset Aileen, then, hey, you're taking some of that steam. But hopefully go in there and prove some of that boxing pedigree. Hopefully make for a fun matchup here. But can't bet against Aileen Pereira. And I should always say, Jama.
What was her boxing record?
It was 3-6. 3-6-1 for a boxing record. So again, I was just about to say, you can't actually make fun of that or hate on that, because the biggest pro record that Aileen Pereira has accumulated is her mixed martial arts record, obviously, right? And she went 1-2 in MMA. And in Glory Kickboxing, she went 2-2. So, or I mean, in Glory Kickboxing, she went 2-1. Before that, she was at WGP Kickboxing, sorry. And she had a loss there to Elaine Lopez. So in her kickboxing career, she went 2-2. In MMA, she went 1-2. Right now in Karate Combat, she's 1-0. So, I mean, she's a 500 fighter's record right now, but she does have a very, very powerful left hook and the right big brother and last name. She's essentially a Gracie fighter at this point, who's waiting to further prove her ranking.
Does anyone in the chat know, or if you guys do, know any sites that are running odds for Karate Combat?
That's a great question. I don't know of any sites that actually have actual odds for him.
Because technically it's not MMA. It's not going to be under that.
I'm checking on best fight odds right now. Let's see. Betway.
Oh, Betway?
Yeah, it looks like Betway has odds for him. Some kind of online casino. Yeah, I'm seeing, these are the odds that I'm seeing. So I have only four fights listed for odds. I've got Marcos Brigajal and Robles de Spain. We got minus 1,000 for de Spain, plus 500 for Marcos. That's a pretty penny if you wager on that. Gisela Luna is a plus 900 underdog. Holy smokes. Oh my God. Eileen Pineda is minus 3,333.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I've never even seen that. That's insane.
Who's doing that?
Edgar Scrivers versus Shazay Bryant is a plus 225 against a minus 333. Obviously, Bryant being the minus 333. And then Efrain Escudero is a plus 200 against a minus 275, Luan Santiago. The only reason dude's dater is for her brother. Oh my God.
Oh gosh. I don't know. That's tough.
Chum. As Doug said, could you imagine dating Alex Pineda's sister and coming home to meeting him?
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know if I'm doing all. I think I'm running out the door. Hey man, if that is the case.
Brigaga is worth a sprinkle.
Who is?
Marcus.
Oh yeah. For plus 500? Yeah, absolutely.
That's worth sprinkle. Would you want to change our bet for those same odds?
No. Do you think I'm fucking stupid? What? What?
That's worth a shot. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
True.
God. Either way. I digress. I'm not giving myself those odds. We're just gonna stick with a tenner and a shot, my friend.
Yeah, tenner and a shot sounds good.
With that being said, we are gonna give the people what they want. They've been asking for this in the chat since about 40 minutes ago. So Shazaib Rind, aka King Khan, not King Kong. King Khan coming in against Edgar Scrivers, the Bear Slayer. What a nickname. I mean, the Bear Slayer is just a fun nickname. But again, this is a situation like you guys went over a little bit earlier, I think like three fights ago now, where if you look at the topology, like one of them looks the part. The other one looks like a CW character that was cast for the part. And I'm going to let you guys be the judge of which is which here. But with that being said, Leroy, jump on in and tell us who you have in this main event between the Bear Slayer and King Khan.
Well, you reckon the Bear Slayer is a cool nickname. King Khan is dope. I mean, like, Khan actually existed and conquered the most known of the known world. I don't know. He's got a stellar record. He's young. He's hungry. I think he's going to get this one easy. I wouldn't be surprised if he finds himself in some other promotions down the road.
I completely agree with that. Nano, you're in, brother.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, the Bear Slayer, somebody that's a grizzled vet here in the karate combat world, 33 years old, but has a few fights, has a solid record. Even though he's coming off some losses here as of recent, he did go on a three-fight winning streak, actually five-fight winning streak. And what you see in a lot of that is, and I guess there's no takedowns, but you still see like some leg whip, kind of, I don't even know. I guess it's not a takedown, but
there are sweeps. You can get Thai style sweeps and things like that. And you only the difference between this and MMA as far as like takedowns and control is, I think they only allot 5 seconds of top position and then they stand them up.
Gotcha. Well, I was gonna say he was really productive in those situations when it comes to leg sweeps and timing that with his spinning back fist and everything. I liked his variety of strikes. I'm actually looking here. This guy fought Yadong Song back in 2017. Fun fact. I'll let MMA Anomaly talk about that. I might have spoiled his notes a little bit there, but I am leaning with the favorite, the man of the hour, King Khan Shazaib Rind, mostly because He has that kickboxing background, like we were mentioning here earlier. 75-4 record there, kickboxing champion, first Pakistani champion, and a combat champion here as well. 6-0 record. He's 6 feet tall here for this lightweight division, 155, and he's still only 26 years old. So he's got 7 years of youth. Like, he's positioned, everything's trending the right way. Dude's a stud. He looks absolutely stacked as well. I don't know how he makes the weight. But he's someone that seems to be special. I think Leroy mentioned it. Somebody that I think can cross over, especially with a lot of the success we've been seeing from these kickboxers into the UFC, the Israel Adesanyas, the Carlos Prates, obviously Alex Bejeda, Chama. The list goes on and on. And this kid definitely looks to be special. Pakistan is a huge country. They have, a billion people there. He's going to have all that steam behind him. The UFC would be foolish not to be calling his line after another maybe dominant performance here this upcoming weekend. But what do you got for us, homie Anomaly? What's that, brother?
Sorry.
Good. Jump in, baby.
I was going to say, I believe also, if the UFC were to knock on his door, he would be the first Pakistani fighter in the UFC.
I can't think of any.
But I don't know why surprised. I was thinking Anshul Jubilee might be, but I might be completely wrong.
There's a couple Indians, but there's no Pakistanis.
You're right. Never mind. Anshul Jubilee he's one of the only Indian fighters. Okay. I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
And you do not confuse those two.
That's why I apologize. That's literally fair. Like my boy literally was like, oh, so your girl's Arabic. And I'm like, no, she's a Syrian. He's like, same thing. And I was like, no, you just piss her off.
Don't say that.
And then he did a bunch of research, and then for Christmas that year, he got her a book on Assyrian culture for her own culture, because he's fascinated with it. He got himself the same book. Shout out, Matt.
I would say that's a win.
Tico Tech, are you in the chat right now, my guy? Fucking love you, dude.
That's a win. He's that's the a best. Good present. Even though it doesn't work, it's still a great present.
He's a great present giver. And yeah, man, I mean, I'm with you guys here on everything you said. I'm just going to essentially echo here in the next like 2 minutes. Shazai Brind, King Khan, Leroy. Yes. Sick name. Really awesome nickname. You're not wrong. And B, he looks the part, and he feels the part. He is the part, right? Like, he had one fight outside of karate combat professionally, and that was at one championship in their Warrior Series. He got knocked out in the third round due to a right straight against Alexander Moisa. And then since then, he's gone on a tear of not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but 7 wins in a row here under the karate combat leg. And he's just looked absolutely incredible doing it. A vast majority of these fights are finishes for him, which is very impressive, right? And more often than not, he's getting it done very fast in the first round, in that first 2.5 to 3 minutes. So, look at Sav here in the chat. Just saw the face-offs. Ryan is huge next to Scrivers. Yeah, I definitely agree. And, I mean, you can see that here in kind of what the tail of the tape looks like. You got one that's 5'8", one that's 6'1". And it doesn't say the reach for Ryan here on Tapology, at least, but I gotta assume he's got a hell of an ape index, judging by the way his last couple of fights have looked. He looks like one of those dudes that's fingertips could probably touch the ground when he's walking.
Dragon.
And he weighs 155. That's insane. He's stacked. I don't know how he
makes
it.
He's a long boy.
He's also found himself in the right state. In being in Florida, Miami, Florida, around there, like, he's getting all the training partners he needs to succeed.
Oh, yeah. There's no lack of sparring partners or good bodies to get in there in rotation with him to get work in those gyms. And I mean, again, like you said, like, the dude is doing all the right things. I truly think that the sky is the limit for this guy. I think maybe one or two more wins in karate combat, if he doesn't take any damage, he probably is going to get that call from Hunter, and they'll probably give him maybe like an Anshul Jubilee or somebody. I think he might fight at 155, and that'd be a very, very fun cultural fight. Either way, a star is born, no matter who wins, right? So I think that's a fun fight. Sign me up for it. And I think that, again, this is going to be a great fight for karate combat tomorrow. And I think Rind is going to make just another foundational step in his career.
Well said, brother.
Hell yeah.
And with that being said, folks, that is it for Karate Combat. That is it for PFL. So before we part ways and call it a day, I just have to ask one last question to my co-hosts here. Leroy, we'll start with you. Of all the fights coming up on this Adesanya versus Imavov card, other than the main event, and let's say the co-main event as well, because that's just a fucking gimme pick. come on. What fight or fights are you most excited for?
Oh, that's a good question. I would like to see... I am looking forward to seeing Pavlovich come back. I don't know how he's going to look. I hope he bounces back just fine. Rozenstruik's probably not the guy you want to find out. But, I mean, it is what it is. That's going to be a fun one. Same with Ikram. I'm looking forward to Ikram coming back, seeing how he bounces back from that devastating loss to Whittaker.
And same. Andre Muniz is probably not the litmus test that you want coming back.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Seeing Gazdiev come back after his stellar knockout, like, that was dope. Like, I want to see what he does next. That's sick. Terrence McKinney. This card is stacked.
And somebody in our draft needs Terrence McKinney to do very well. Was that Drew that took him super early?
I think so. He took him early.
He had to.
Terrible pick. Always. I got two fighters coming up here on this card, so I'm extremely excited for Mayra Breno Silva to get back, hopefully in the winner's column against our girl. I know it pains me to say, but yeah, she is fighting.
Who's she fighting?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Ola knows who we're talking about here.
Are
you talking about Jasmine?
Yes, Adavitej.
Is that who it is?
Hey, that's exactly what we're talking about.
I thought it might be somebody else, but then I was really just racking my brain. And I was like,
it's actually Yesedavichis.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I put Perez Yam on my ticket?
Ooh, I don't know, but that's a good ticket to book.
He was on my short list, but I don't know if I picked him or not.
I do also have Izzy Adesanya, so I'm gagging. Right, I'm getting points this week or next weekend, baby. That's let's go. Thing.
Izzy's gonna smash this one. You're gonna see vintage Izzy.
I hope so. Back to back too. I'm hoping.
Oki Balaji as well. He's also a friend of the Fight Week show. Really solid dude fighting out of Belgium.
Oh, nice.
He's gonna be a fun one. He opens the card.
Hell yeah.
One to watch.
Let's go.
I had him on my short list.
Oki.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He did well in the contender series, eh?
He did really well in the contender series. He looked really sharp. One of my favorite picks, and I think, is he going this weekend? Or is that next week? Abel Aslan?
Who, sorry?
Abel Aslan?
Next week?
I think he's going a week after.
I think so. I think he's on
312.
I only look ahead far enough for the next one.
Fair enough.
I also didn't know that. I'm just seeing this now. Technically not. He's born in Australia, but he reps Turkey. Khan Offley. He's fighting as well. That's going to be a fun one. He's a crack.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His first fight in the UFC, but he is fun to watch.
There's a
handful of these people that are going to be on this one that are a lot of fun to watch. Like the other fight for me that really stands out is Saeed Nurmagomedov and Vinicius Oliveira. Like, ooh. Vinicius Oliveira coming off a knockout of the year candidate, and you got Saeed Nurmagomedov, who's one of them striking Dagestanis. It's going to be a fun fight, dude.
Cowboy's good.
I don't know why. I feel like Saeed's going to walk him onto a knee, and it's going to be poetic of what happened last year for Vinicius.
Right.
Because he's long, and he always, like, when he throws, he likes to do this, where he'll throw the overhand and lean his head forward. And if he does that shit, and Saeed sidesteps and just lifts a knee up, he's so long, that knee will just penetrate his chin.
And you know Saeed's got the speed for it, too.
He's so fast. Yeah. He's fast.
It's quick, man. He's real quick.
Like, yeah. I watched a lot of those fights, like, at that weight class. Anything bantamweight and below, I almost have to go back and watch at least 2 to 3 times just to really absorb all the technical movements and processes that are going on in those fights, man. Like, they're so fast.
Yeah.
And speaking of speed,
all instinct, all in the right spot.
100%. That's why I love watching like a Mighty Mouse fight. And speaking of speed, I just have to get your take on this. Last thing. Shara Bullitt. Magomedov. Coming in against MVP. I mean, are we a group divided on this? Because I feel like I may be a lone man out. Nana, we'll start with you. Who are you picking in that one?
Man. MVP is definitely proven to have a style that has been a tricky puzzle to solve. If we're talking chess, he's the Queen's Gambit thus far when it comes to the striking. Sad things is a fraud test. I think if that fraud test is trying to dodge a Shara Bullitt, then you are correct. That is the best test out there. Can he bend the bullet like in that really cool early 2000s movie? I'm blanking on it.
Wanted.
Thank you, my
Angelina
brother.
Angelina Jolie, James McAvoy.
Yes. So that Shara Bullitt is going to be the test. I think Shara Bullitt has the skills. I think he's a fine way to get it done, honestly. He's awkward, weird enough power. And the double spinning back fist to KO somebody was all I needed to see. I think MVP is going to get a rude awakening here for what the UFC is really about. Come. And this guy has one eye, need I remind you. Let's go.
Leroy, tell us why Nano's your favorite.
Dude, I mean, how much time have we got?
Oh, stop.
I love MVP. Watching him just knock out, just bully cans in Bellator was amazing. I'm a big fan, but I think he has surpassed my expectations of him in the UFC as it is. I think he's overrated. I don't think he stacks that well. I think Sharon might walk through him. And I think the fraud check is on MVP. You don't get a double back fist knockout and then someone say, oh, let's put you up for a fraud check. Like MVP is jealous of that finish.
That is true.
That's what I'm going to say about that.
I mean, everybody in the world is jealous of that finish. He's got one eye. I mean, that's fair. But even if he had two eyes, that finish would be impressive as hell because he literally did, like, verbatim, a combo from Tekken.
Yes.
That Brian does, like the crazy white-haired military dude. It is literally one of his combos. Not even just the double spinning back fist, Nano, because I see you like, is he serious right now? The push kick before it is part of the combo in Tekken. It's a push kick to double spinning back fist.
But he's like,
and he did that exact move. The timing was the same.
So here's the next one. Boom.
Like the timing was the same too. I'm going to send you a clip of it after this, Nano, and you're going to be like, oh my God. That's insane. Like it's insane. It truly is. But let's not forget that before he ridiculed a man and rolled a pokeball at his corpse, MVP cracked a man's skull with a knee. Literally caved it in.
Yeah.
That's ungodly, right? I haven't seen another man that's done that before. And that is terrifying to me.
10 years ago?
Look, Leroy, nobody likes you right now.
So that's what I'm saying. Like I'm such an MVP fan, but I think he's over the hill, man. I think
the whole reason we invited you to this show was to talk about Tony Ferguson. You're talking about MVP being over the hill? What is even happening right
now? Dude, he's like, you know who he's like? He's like Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Fatality.
Damn. He came at me like that? That sucks.
I'm sorry, but he is. He's good. He's top 15 good, but he ain't top 5 good. The other thing, too, is I need a Shara win because the better Shara does in at all, just full stop, the better the likelihood that Dre Miley will get a fight.
I love that for Dre Miley, and Dre Miley is the homie.
Yeah. He also has, if you don't know who Dre Miley is, he's the one-eyed dragon. He's also got one eye, and he's forever hungry for a fight, and he struggles to get a fight because he's fighting out of Texas.
And the commissions won't approve it. And Bellator has not been doing him any favors. So PFL, if you're listening right now, seriously, PFL, do this young man, the one-eyed dragon, Dre Miley, a favor and give him a fight. He has been a part of the Bellator staple for some time now, has struggled to get a fight under this promotion. not necessarily only due to the promotion, but due to the sanctioning parties not willing to play ball and let him fight. We've seen time and time again, Michael Bisping won a world championship belt in the UFC while lying and faking his way through having two eyes. He literally had one eye when he did that, folks. Give the one-eyed dragon, Dre Miley, his chance. Give him his shot. And PFL, you probably technicality-wise have this man as part of your roster, part of your staple. Give him a leg to stand on. All he needs is a shot.
All of Texas, if you want viewership, all of Texas will be watching. Everyone knows him. Everyone wants to see him fight.
He's somebody that all these fans will get behind.
Such a humble guy, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well said.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Like, I mean, it's true. Like, the guy just needs a leg to stand on, and Bellator hasn't done him any favors, and he's done them plenty, right? Like, he's accepted fights on short notice that have fallen off. Like, it's not for a lack of effort on his end. And again, if you have Twitter, if you have X, like,
it's dangerous.
He's very dangerous. He's very dangerous. And again, like, folks, if you want to get behind this guy, if you want to drop him a follow and show him some support, it is at Miley_Dre135. That is at Miley_Dre135 on X and Twitter, whatever you call it. Drop the man a follow. Let him know you're behind him. And if you make any posts about him, make sure you tag PFL. Tag the powers that be.
He also said he would fight featherweight too, just for the record.
Jeez Louise. Like, again, the dude is hungry. He's willing to take a fight anywhere, right? Up, down, doesn't matter. And he doesn't even care who he fights. Like, he'll fight somebody below him. He'll fight someone far ranked above him to prove that he's that guy. So again, give this guy a chance, because I think that's something that we can all agree on in life, is all we need is a chance. And if you have a chance and you squander it, that's on you. But if you're putting in the work and nobody's giving you a chance, keep banging that door. And hopefully you'll break through and you'll get the chance that's well-deserved. And that's something that I'm saying directly to you, Dre. So looking forward to when that next fight is. Whenever it may be, you know, we'll be tuning in. We'll be supporting from here, and we'll be cheering you on. That'll do it for this episode, folks. Make sure you drop a follow at SNLs for the man on the left. If you love a good accent, if you love a good beard, he's the guy for you. At Jive Turkey Nano, you already know him. He's the co-host with the most. He's here every freaking week, folks. And if you don't hate the radio broadcaster voice you've been hearing for the most part here, at MMA Anomaly on all platforms, we love that you've been here, folks. If you drink, raise up a shot with us. We'll do one with you. If you don't, do a little sippy sip of water, folks. But either way, we appreciate you for being here. And make sure you hit the like, comment, subscribe, and smash that bell for notifications, folks. And until the next time, we'll see you then. Keep on going and keep on growing.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMA Anomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.